This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Your grain futures on the Chicago Board of Trade were mixed, but mostly higher Monday. Corn for September finally made it back over the $4 mark to 405 and a quarter, up 5 3/4. December corn gained 5 1/4 cents to 414 and 3/4. And March corn was up 5 to 425 and a half. Soybeans for August remained steady at 850 and a quarter. September beans gained 1/4 cent to 856. And November beans also gained 1/4 cent to 868 and 3/4. September wheat gained 3 3/4 to 494 and a half. December wheat Monday gained 3 1/2 to 494 and 3/4. And December wheat gained 3 1/4 to 503 and 3/4. August bean meal gained 250 to 294.90. September bean meal gained 250 as well to 297. And October bean meal gained 260 to 298.80 on Monday. Finally, soybean oil for August was 43 cents lower to 27.76. September bean oil was 45 cents lower to 27.87. And October bean oil was 44 cents lower to $28. So to recap, corn was up 5 to 5 3/4, beans were steady to 1/4 cent higher, wheat was 3 3/4 to 3 1/4 cent higher, soybean meal was $2.50 higher, and bean oil was anywhere in a range of 45 to 43 cents lower. Now we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for your cash grain report from Monday.
This is Monday's reported grain price and trends prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices are mixed on Monday afternoon in northern and western Illinois. Country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 3 to 7 cents higher at 367 to 406. Soybean bids are 2 to 3 cents lower at 787 to 810. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 6 to 7 higher at 392 to 417. Soybean bids are steady to a penny lower at 806 to 850. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids 1 to 5 cents higher at 352 to 437. Soybean bids were steady to 2 cents lower at 809 to 842. And wheat bids were up 4 to 5 cents at 455 to 495. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were steady to 2 cents lower at 829 to 864. Basis was steady to down 2 at 40 under to 5 under the November. High pro soybean meal on a truck base offered at 289 to 302 a ton, up $2.50 a ton, with basis unchanged at 8 under to 5 over the September. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were 6 cents higher at 420 to 433, with basis steady at 15 over to 28 over the September. Illinois River barge loading elevators coated their producer corn bids 6 cents higher at 369 to 405, with basis unchanged at 36 under to option to September. Soybeans ended mostly steady at 816 to 825, with basis unchanged at 53 under to 44 under the November. New crop wheat prices are mixed at 445 to 463, with basis steady to down 17 at 50 under to 32 under the September. East St. Louis barge flowing terminalized place their producer corn bids 4 to 5 cents higher at 388 to 395. Their soybean prices were steady to 5 cents lower. Quotations at 839 to 841. Soft wheat closed mixed at 495 to $5. Milo ended the day up 5 cents at 449 to 450. Contract bids producers for October and November delivery. Corn in the northern part of the state at 365 to 405, soybeans at 801 to 839. In the central part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 386 to 408, soybeans at 811 to 854. In the southern part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 358 to 427, soybeans at 805 to 835. And that concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Monday's livestock futures were mixed but mostly higher, with live cattle for August gaining 15 cents to 107.80. October live cattle were 42 cents lower to 107.40, and December live cattle were 12 cents higher to 111.90. August feeder cattle were 90 cents higher to 140.52. September feeders were $1.17 higher to 139.40, and October feeders were 45 cents higher to 138.42. Finally, lean hogs for August gained $1.57 to 77.85. October hogs gained $1.70 to 67.42, and December lean hogs lost $1.05 to 62.20. So to recap, live cattle were anywhere in a range of 15 cents higher to 42 cents lower. Feeder cattle were in a range of $1.17 to 45 cents higher. And lean hogs were in a range of $1.70 higher to $1.05 lower. Now we'll take you back to the Department of Agriculture once more this morning for Monday's Cash Livestock Report.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Monday Afternoon Livestock Report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for 200-pound pork carcass traded 90 cents lower, in a range of $67 to $80, with the weighted average carcass price of $76.01. From the Illinois Direct Sow Port, slaughter sow price were firm, with light to moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded 30 to 36, 4 to 5 weighted 32 to 40, 5 to 6 weighted 34 to 44, and over 600 pounds, $35 to $46. In the Illinois direct hog trade, prices of barrels and gilts country buying points were $1 to $2 lower, with light to moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $48 to $53. Receipts for Illinois barrels and gilts have totaled $16,760. In the direct cattle trade, the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, choice steers on address basis traded at $185. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 239 loads traded. Calculations for 200-pound pork carcass was $88.13, which is $1.49 higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Port, values for choice and select beef carcass were trading mixed. Choice carcasses are $2.14.70, which is 3 cents lower, while select carcasses were $1.91.67, which is $1.04 higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated 119,000. Compared to 119,000 last week, 117,000 one year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated 427,000 compared to 452,000 last week and 394,000 one year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is David Humphreys at the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And in Ag News for part two of your Tuesday morning Ag Show, China has reportedly told its commodity buyers to stop all imports of U.S. agricultural products. The move is in response to Trump's planned tariff increase announced last week. Trump is using the tariffs to place pressure on China to reach a trade agreement. China also announced the devaluation of its currency Monday, an action a Rabobank researcher told Bloomberg News is among the worst-case scenarios. China appears to be waiting out the upcoming November 2020 U.S. elections to see if the political climate in the U.S. will change. The announcement Monday by China follows news that it was buying U.S. ag products as promised in prior talks, just not at expected levels due to market conditions. China claims demand for soybeans is weak in the nation as African swine fever has reduced its hog herd and need for feed ingredients. Trump administration officials claimed over the weekend that significant ag purchases may keep the U.S. from enacting the next round of tariffs, before China halted all purchases. Trade war worries also sent Wall Street retreating on Monday, as some experts fear the rest of the U.S. could join agriculture in a depressed economy. Experts from Morgan Stanley predict a global recession if the trade war escalates through Trump's threatened additional 25% tariffs on China. Trump intends to implement 10% of the tariffs next month. The cause for China's stoppage of U.S. ag purchases and devaluing its currency. Trump accused China of using its devaluation of currency to retaliate against the U.S., but China's central bank denied it and made the move as an intentional response to the trade war. China still plans to retaliate against the U.S. tariffs that will start in September. Morgan Stanley representatives told CNBC Monday the firm believes a global recession will come in about 9 months if the trade war fervor escalates. U.S. negotiators met with Chinese officials late last month and plan an additional round of talks at the beginning of September. In other national ag news, in the American Angus Association's newest documentary, Losing Ground, a new study from the American Farmland Trust, Farms Under Threat, The State of America's Farmland, John Peyote, the president and CEO of American Farmland Trust, discusses the comprehensive assessment of U.S. land use, which identifies those losses of farm and ranch land.
We're actually losing farmland almost twice as fast as we thought before. And the numbers are 1.5 million acres a year, 175 acres every hour. So 3 acres a minute, in essence. That's more land than we thought. And it is alarming. It should be alarming. Some loss of farmland is inevitable, but that level is simply unsustainable.
With almost 1 billion total acres of U.S. farmland, it's easy for some to overlook the loss of the 31 million acres in the last 20 years.
If you think of it that way, 30 million out of a billion, that's 3%. It doesn't sound that alarming, right? But it is. First off, we are losing our best land fastest. Much of our really good land is close to urban locations, and that's the land that we have lost the fastest and continue to lose. Point two is we don't have the luxury of losing even 3% of our land over a period of time, because we basically need that land now. And as population grows, we're going to need it even more.
Piotti points out that some of the best farmland in the world is within striking distance of Chicago, a major U.S. metropolis where urban development continues to encroach toward rural areas. In that particular region, the shelf life of farmland is on the decline.
Farmers were talking about their land as, quote, transitional land. We know this is going to be developed. We're just figuring out how to keep it in farming for the next 5 or 8 or 10 years until that inevitably happens. And the problem with that mindset is farmers are then not investing in the future. And it becomes a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? You're not maintaining your buildings or your land in the way you could because you think you're going to be out of business. And then it probably means that even if those circumstances that would have driven you out of business are not on their own occurring, you're not in a good position to have a vibrant operation going forward.
Piotti says that development is still an important foundation for prosperous communities, so striking a balance between development and conservation is key. However, there are certain instances where the balance factor should be overlooked.
There are crops in California that can be grown there and a few other places around the world, and that is it, just because of the truly unique climate, soils, whole host of different things. So those should be in our scopes, really, as being so, so important to protect. There's no reason we should ever have a housing development on land that is so precious and globally important. To date, we're not yet seeing the realities of California agriculture quite that way. We're still talking about maybe a balance between development and farming. There are some places where a balance doesn't make sense. When you have amazing land, which is one of the few places in the world where you can grow certain crops, balance is not the answer. The answer is that land needs to be forever available for those opportunities.
Agricultural conservation easements are one tool that can be used to protect farmland against development.
The beauty of agricultural conservation easements is, first off, they can be tailored to the specific needs of a landowner, and second, they're completely voluntary. So they only get used when a landowner wants it to be put on its farm. But when it happens, it's an amazing thing because, first off, it makes sure that that land will forever be available for farming. But second, it does something which is so critical, which is it ensures that that land is going to be available in the future at an affordable price.
And for a more in-depth look at the urbanization of America's farmland, view the American Angus Association's new documentary, Losing Ground, on the Angus TV YouTube channel. A new agreement between the European Union and the United States regarding beef trade presents a new opportunity for U.S. ranchers. The Friday afternoon announcement allows sales of 35,000 metric tons of U.S. beef to the European Union. Current terms allow for only 18,500 metric tons. American Farm Bureau Federation President Zippy Duvall says ranchers welcome the opportunity, but adds it's important for U.S. negotiators to remain committed to reaching a broad trade agreement with the EU. National Cattlemen's Beef Association President Jennifer Houston joined President Trump during the announcement and signing ceremony. Houston says of the announcements, it's exciting to know European families will enjoy more U.S. beef. The country-specified quota will benefit U.S. beef producers who participate in the USDA's non-hormone-treated cattle program that was established in 1999. The Trump administration estimates that the quota will increase annually as U.S. beef sales in Europe go from $150 million to $420 million in year 7 of the deal. In 2018, the U.S. exported $12.7 billion in agricultural products to the European Union. Moving on now into State of Illinois Ag News. It's easy to watch the grass in your yard go dry, or watching the flower or veggie garden start to deteriorate during these hot and dry summer days. But a U of I master gardener is reminding you not to forget about tree maintenance. Candace Hart with the University of Illinois Extension says caring for your trees during these dry times in the summer is very good for them as well. She says it's specifically important for younger trees.
Certainly, especially if you have a tree that's like younger than 3 years. So if it's newly planted in the last couple of years, definitely a good idea when we, you know, the kind of rule of thumb we follow is like an inch of water per week is what kind of a newer planted, any kind of plant is going to need. So if we're not getting that inch of water from rain in a particular week or 2 weeks, then yeah, it really is a good idea to get out the soaker hose or get out the sprinkler and apply some water to those newly planted trees for sure. They're vulnerable during those times.
Watering a tree is not as simple as watering a flower or vegetable garden. Hart explains you want to water on the outer canopy of a tree, known as the drip line. She says there are some practices for watering a tree that are not as efficient.
The majority of your water absorption, there's a lot of root hairs that are growing on the drip line of a tree. If you've never heard of that drip line, basically it's the outer canopy of the tree. So when it rains, that water kind of naturally falls along the outer portion of the tree. So when you are going to water, a lot of people will put like their soaker hose or their sprinkler right at the base of the tree, kind of underneath it. And there's not a lot of root hairs there. There's not going to be a lot of water absorption. There's some, but not a lot. So you kind of want to move those soaker hoses out to the edge of the tree, sprinklers, however you're watering, move them towards the edge of that tree, and that's where you're going to get the most kind of water uptake. But you're right, the roots are going to go out much farther than that, but you're going to have your best absorption kind of in that drip line, we call it.
Some trees can be in tough spots, like between a street or sidewalk. She says if you are worried about them, you can water whatever soil areas you can find, but points out those are often hand-selected trees to tolerate those kinds of conditions. In other State Illinois Ag news, repairs at the Illinois State Fair Coliseum are complete. 3 years after the landmark, beloved by horse lovers well beyond Illinois, was forced to close because of structural issues, Springfield-based R.D. Lawrence completed the project Friday after 20-hour-a-day rebuilding efforts. John Slayton with the Illinois State Fair Foundation, which has been raising money privately for overdue fairgrounds repairs, says once the state fair is complete, more improvements are on the way.
Put in heating and air conditioning. Update the bathrooms, take out the green tile that surrounds the Coliseum and the arches at the bottom and replace it with thick glass. So I think a year from now or maybe a year and a half from now, Coliseum's going to be absolutely gorgeous.
Slayton says heating and air conditioning will offer a lot more than fairgoer modern comfort.
Make it a more year-round venue for cattle shows, horse shows, whatever type of shows. But I think to remain competitive with other state fairs in the surrounding states like Indiana, I think everybody will be back. I don't think we're going to lose anybody. That's optimistic thinking, but they love the Coliseum, the horse people do. I think you'll see maybe a trend over the next few years, maybe getting some cattle shows back in there.
And in Indiana, for example, their Coliseum at the State Fairgrounds in Indianapolis is now home to a minor league hockey team. And in other news from the State Fair, there's going to be no better way than to kick off the 2019 State Fair than the cutting of the ribbon for the Coliseum. Of course, after it was condemned in 2016 due to the rusted support column bases, the Coliseum will once again be open for business during this year's fair. And you can be part of the festivities when they welcome back the 118-year-old structure with a ceremonial ribbon cutting on Friday, August 9th at 10 a.m. J.B. Pritzker, the governor of Illinois, along with Illinois Department of Agriculture Director John Sullivan, State Fair Manager Kevin Gordon, and other local and state dignitaries will be on hand for the ceremony. And, of course, this year's State Fair starts on Thursday, and there's also going to be lowered admission prices for the fair. Sunday the 11th through Thursday the 15th, daily admission prices have been lowered to $5 for adults. Senior prices will remain at $3 per person, and children 12 years of age and younger will be free. This is being done to make the fair a more affordable, family-friendly experience. And parking on the fairgrounds is still only $5 per day. The discount admission booklets, which provide an adult 11 any-day admissions for the fair, are still only $45, which is a savings of $30. Tickets can be purchased online anytime at IllinoisStateFair.info by calling 217-782-6661 and in person on the fairgrounds at the Emerson Building from 8 to 4:30 Monday through Friday. And in addition to the already low daily admission prices, the fair is also going to offer free admission to special attendees with proper identification. Sunday, August 11th, will be Veterans and Gold Star Families Day. Monday, August 12th, will be Senior Day for seniors 60 and older. And on Friday, August 16th, will be First Responders Day. So don't forget to mark your calendar for the State Fair, which will be held this Thursday, August 8th through the 18th in Springfield. Coming up on Saturday, the Illinois Farm Bureau and the RFD Radio Network will be hosting the 20th Annual Master Showmanship Contest at the State Fair. The event will be held at the Junior Livestock Barn starting at 7:30 or a half an hour following the conclusion of the Beef Cattle Show. 4-H youth who have won Master Showmanship at their county level will have the opportunity to compete in the Master Showmanship Contest. Contestants will show beef, swine, and sheep, competing to be named the Master Showman. Their placings will be determined by their ability to handle the livestock and answer questions posed by the judges about each species. Winners from each species will receive $100 as well as other prizes. The overall top three winners will receive $500, $300, and $2 respectively to first, second, and third place. A show box, a belt buckle, and various other prizes will also be awarded. A T-shirt and other prizes will be given to each participant as a thanks to donations from sponsors. 2019 is the 20th year for this annual contest, which was started by the Illinois Farm Broadcasters. The Master Showmanship Contest was created to recognize hardworking and successful youth. The competition provides an occasion for 4-H youth to compete at the state level. Finally, moving on to local ag news, and we'll catch up with the Hillsboro FFA chapter, who was very busy at day one of Old Settlers with the pedal pull, and we'll talk about that pedal pull with Vice President Maddie Malloy.
Yes, it went great. The weather was great. We had a lot of participants, about 45 kids. We handed out ribbons to the top three contestants for each age group and ride tickets to all participants and metal first place tractor cutouts that we cut on the plasma cutter in the ag shop. So today was a great day.
All right. And you plan on keep doing this for future years for other Old Settlers?
Yes, as many years as we're allowed to.
I also talked with chapter reporter Aaron Kistner, who talked about what the FFA chapter will be doing for Wednesday and Thursday of Old Settlers.
We're actually going to have the pork patty stand where we're selling, of course, pork patties. and we're selling chips and drinks. So if you're ever thirsty or need a snack, come to the FFA booth.
And Aaron, where's your stand going to be at this year?
It's going to be by the Moose Lodge, right across the street from Sweet Addictions.
And finally, I also spoke with President Wesley Stockstill, who talks about a pork raffle that they will be doing at Old Settlers, running through the homecoming football game.
So this spring, me and Mr. Galleon, along with his brother, we went up near Jacksonville to go buy two hogs, and right now those hogs are currently being raised at South 40 Farms. They're about 150 pounds right now, so at our homecoming football game, we will auction them off. One of the hogs is mine to keep, and the other one, we will auction off two halves, and those will go off to our two lucky winners at our homecoming football game. So all the proceeds go back to the FFA.
And again, that was Vice President Maddie Malloy, reporter Aaron Kistner, and President Wesley Stockstill, all of the Hillsboro FFA chapter. In other local news, Old Settlers parade parking for horses will be in the grass lot between the Hillsboro Junior High and the high school at the corner of Chase and Summer Street. Classes being judged for the horse division of the Old Settlers Parade will be best of show, best costume, and most unique coat or markings. Any questions can be directed to Farm Bureau Manager Katie Wilson at 532-6171. And finally, the Montgomery County Farm Bureau Young Leaders Meeting will be held on Thursday evening at 5:30. And they will be meeting at the Farm Bureau office in Hillsboro to load popcorn and line up for the Old Settlers Parade. Any business for the August meeting will then be discussed during the parade lineup. And remember, as always, if you have any ag news for the morning or afternoon farm shows, you can email that to us at WSMI@WSMIRadio.com. So for this Tuesday morning, August 6th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.